Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and we have another great conversation about getting in the business to really niche in and have a conversation, but bringing some outside perspectives to that. And how this message I want to convey to the audience is that I'm super excited to have an outside-the-box thinker and talk about how different people and ways of doing things can make your business stronger, right? And how is it going to benefit you is that hearing other perspectives can hopefully help you overcome obstacles in your business or give you new ideas that will help strengthen or grow your business. And so my perspective is that we get to have Sarah Arndt, who is disrupting the roofing industry through her cool company, Aardmar Construction, out of the Minneapolis area, back where I came from. So I'm super excited to have that conversation and talk about Sarah's entrepreneurial journey into construction. And it's something anyone can learn from, right? And our industry needs a lot more Sarahs to come in and help us with this. So let's move past these limiting stereotypes of who can be successful in construction. So without further ado, let's have as much fun as possible, get to know Sarah Arndt's story and what she's doing to disrupt the roofing industry over at Aardmar Construction. Lock and load, tribe. What's your favorite beverage?
I'd probably say at the moment, coffee. I go through kind of phases where it's either coffee or matcha or tea. And I've been into the coffee with the chaga or the lion's mane mushrooms in it. So kind of of those.
Who it was, but it was like, whenever they say coffee, I say, well, what kind of coffee? And one of my favorite answers was Folgers drip coffee. I'm like, well, he's like, cause every morning it reminds me of when I was a kid and that's what we had every morning. And it's like, that's super cool. And then every kind of fancy coffee, but it kind of sounds like you're trying all kinds of different caffeine ways to move through the day.
Yeah. You know, I guess I just personally like how the added of the lion's mane helps me. If I really need to think through things, it really helps enhance that caffeine.
Well, lion's mane.
Yes.
I should know what that is, but I've never heard of that.
They're like functional mushrooms. And when I say mushrooms, people go like hallucinogenic mushrooms. No, this is not like a hallucinogenic mushroom. There are different types of mushrooms that you can use for different types of thing. And so it's a mushroom that they grind up and they add it into the coffee, and it's got a lot of health benefits. It's been used for many, many, many years by Native Americans and different tribal cultures, around the world. And so, yeah.
There we go. Right off the bat, outside perspective. So I'm going to put that on my list to go get that for my next cup of Joe. What's your favorite place that you've traveled?
So I haven't actually done a lot of travel. As a kid, I've traveled by car to a lot of different places. I guess for me, the trip that probably had the most impact was I actually took a solo trip for a long weekend when I had started to 2 years into starting the business. I spent some time in Florida and just really decompressed. And that's actually where I came up with the model that our business is currently operating under. So it was a great time. I literally spent 5 days, and I don't think I was on my phone the entire 5 days other than a quick phone call home. So
there you go. Good on you. You got to get outside of your business to break through the ceilings for sure. What do you like to do outside the construction silos we're going to talk about breaking down that we passionately call the art of construction?
So I actually have a lot of different hobbies. I'm not necessarily, as a mom of a young child, I'm not exactly doing all of them to the fullest that I'd love to do. I love to garden. I love to cook. Those would probably be the two biggest ones, would be cooking and then obviously time with my kids.
So what is your story that led you to founding Aardmar Construction?
So if we go back to where you were in the intro, you talked a little bit about breaking stereotypes. And I think one of the things for people, especially in this podcast where we're talking about bringing in kind of outside perspectives, I was the girl who no one really trusted me with equipment. No one really trusted me with, perfect example, I one day dropped the riding lawnmower. So my parents owned a resort. We had like 5 acres of lawn that we had to mow each week. And I was helping out mowing the lawn. And I dropped a riding lawnmower over a retaining wall. And then the next day, it was like a 8-foot retaining wall, maybe a little higher than that. We got it back. It was still operational. And the next day, no one had told me anything about cleaning out the intake. And I didn't have the common sense to know to check the intake. And the lawnmower started on fire. And after that was kind of, that's just kind of like the summary of like how my family and those around me kind of viewed my capabilities when it came to, so for me here today to be owning and operating a multi-million-dollar construction company, I would be the last person that anyone would say would be even capable of doing that. I went to school for it to be a nurse and was working in the nursing. I worked in the nursing field for about 7 years and I was fried. Like there, I did not want to, I could not continue to operate in that space. Even if it meant that I was going to be a server for the rest of my life, or I was going to do something completely different. I've always had a passion for business. My parents owned their own businesses. And so I'd kind of seen how business worked. And so my partner at the time, we're still together, but my partner was working as a subcontractor. And he's like, what do you want to do? Because like, you're clearly like not happy in this. And like, this is a challenge for us. And I'm like, I want to work with you. And so he got me a job doing sales at a roofing company. And so I just kind of took a leap of faith. I was at a point where I'd quit my job and I got into the construction industry. And I very quickly realized that I not only have a passion for this, I'm good at it. It combined all the things that I loved. It combined business and it combined strategy, and construction is so complex, but yet people think that it's so easy on one hand, but it's so complex on the other. Like it's like this dichotomy of like putting a roof on is, in theory, it's easy. But then in practice, when you add in all the components of the weather and the different structures and all the things that you find there, and then working with all the people. So it was just this massive challenge for me. And there's this industry that was just so, there's so much potential within the industry. I went from a field where we're like, nurses are like number one or number two as far as trusted professions. And I was stepping into this world that's like at the bottom of like trusted professions. And so I saw this opportunity to be like, how do we build these trusts with homeowners? And I thought initially when I came in, I'm like, all right, so this is just going to be easy. You just pay people more and you just like, you're just going to be able to fix it. And I quickly realized that this is just so much bigger than something that it's so complex that it's like the challenge of taking care of a patient who's got all these complexities with their body, which I was doing when I was a nurse, without the pressure that that person's going to die.
That's a big statement. So without the pressure, they're going to die. And that's the kind of stuff at the end of the day. Yeah, you may have a leaking roof or whatever, and it's major stuff, but it all can be overcome, right? And overcoming objections, right? So way to tee this up. I'm super excited to go down this journey with you. To set the stage, what made you decide on roofing, siding, and gutters when the title of the company is Ardmore Construction?
So I started Ardmore, and I chose Ardmore Construction as a name because I wanted the freedom that if I want to branch into remodeling or I want to branch into new construction at some point, I have the freedom to do that. My area of expertise in the field that I was selling was actually storm damage restoration, which if you look at the construction industries as a whole, you talk about the trust factor. Storm damage restoration is probably at the bottom of that trust factor. And so I just saw this huge potential to make an impact in that. And I may still venture into some other trades within or some other area of expertise within construction, but that was really just, and we actually, when we started, we did interiors, we did screens, we did awnings, we did windows, we did all of these things. Anything that could be damaged by a storm, we did. And what we were finding was because of the way our business structure was set up, we couldn't execute to the best of our ability in some of those areas. And so we kind of took the 80-20 principle and we looked at what we were really good at, what we were really situated to do well. And we ended up paring down our offerings to really focus on that 20% of what we were doing that was bringing in 80% of our income and that we felt we could execute really well for our customers.
Love it. Riches in the niches, right? So construction is messy. And if you try to be everything to everybody, you'll be nothing at all. So you figured it out, niched in. But I want to take a step back before we leap forward here and talk a little bit more about this transition from nursing to owning and operating a construction business. Because I think there's a lot of it for us to learn from as leaders in the art of construction to say it's not just grooming this polished thing of it if you want to be in construction and going through that. But I would love for you to talk through what were some of the biggest challenges and successes of going from nursing to saying, I'm burnt out, I can't do in this, to saying, I'm going to own and operate a construction business.
So I think some of the biggest challenges for me would probably be, I went from a field where everything was really laid out well. So like in the healthcare arena, there's policies and procedures for everything. You kind of have this structure to the way everything goes. And I jumped in and maybe the company that I was at didn't have, maybe there are other companies that maybe I would have worked for that had a lot more policies and procedures, but the construction field in some respects feels almost like it's just kind of we're winging it as far as like the structure. And so I struggled because I didn't have 15 years of experience in the construction fields. I hadn't swung a hammer or watched my dad swing a hammer and been around and heard all about the different products. So I was coming in and I was doing sales for something where I didn't know what drip edge was. I didn't know what reglet was. I didn't know what a hip roof or a gable roof was. So when you're an outsider and you're just trying to break into this understanding that there is just a whole different terminology that you just don't understand. And then I didn't have, so I've heard several people who've been in the industry for a long time say, this is just common sense. And common sense to me is something that it's not common sense to somebody who hasn't done it. And to, remember I said at the beginning, like I'm the girl who dropped the riding lawnmower over the retaining wall because I didn't have the common sense that no one taught me that you had to mow this hill going up and down instead of left to right. That same thing happened to me in when I got into this field. So a perfect example, and I've told this story to so many of our people that have come in from other fields when they do dumb things that people who've been in this industry for 25 or 30 years are like, well, that's dumb. And I'm like, yeah, but I did some of those same things when I got into this field and I would feel so dumb when I would do them, but like, I just didn't know. So like I went to go pick up a piece of reglet and I just wanted to keep this thing pristine. And when you guys would all know you're in the construction, you know, you have to put the tailgate up or it's going to fly out the back. Well, I thought putting the tailgate up was going to somehow scratch it because it was at an angle and whatever. And so I was driving down the highway and of course I lost a piece of reglet flying riding down the highway. And I called my partner at the time and I was in tears. Like I lost this piece of reglet and then I had to go into Home Depot and try and figure out what is reglet. And I'm Googling what reglet is and trying to figure out what this word is and what it looks like and where it is in the Home Depot. And so I think that perspective has helped me have so much empathy and compassion on people coming in from the outside, that guys that have been and gals that have grown up in this and have had parents in this, you have an understanding of how things operate that someone who has a different background and might be very intelligent in where their field is and their area of expertise, they don't know. So that was one of the challenges. I think some of the successes for me, nursing school teaches critical thinking skills. And so I came into this field and felt really, I just had a lot of critical thinking skills from nursing and I really felt empowered because although I had those moments where I did things like talking to the customer, not hooking up the trailer properly and driving down the driveway, and it fell off the end of the trailer. Like, I'm telling you some of like my really vulnerable like mistakes that I made early on in this. But then I had like the moment of figuring out how, you know, being able to get that trailer that was underneath the hitch of the truck back on the truck. And I had a lot of success with, because I was able to critically think and I developed these other skills, I was able to apply that. And people saw something in me because I didn't look at things the same way. So I had a lot of support from suppliers. You know, my first day on the job, one of the biggest construction companies in the Twin Cities offered me a job doing sales for them. And that was just kind of like the trajectory of, I asked a lot of questions. I was really humble, which is not something in this industry that's probably as common as some other industries. It seems like this industry where if you come into a room and you say, I don't know everything, it seems less common in this industry than in some other industries to sit down and have those, like, I don't know this. But I didn't let that, I knew that because I didn't know something didn't mean that I wasn't capable, and I never let that stop me. So I really felt for the first time in my life, like I had found something that, even though I had all of those little moments from the beginning that were just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that, I had so many other areas that it was just like, I could do this and I could do this well and I could pick up on this. I found out that I had, what kind of mind is it that you know how to put things together? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where you look at things and you know how they go together?
I call it picture tracks, but I'm not really, I'm more like you, not a standard. What is the...
Right. So I guess I found out that I have the ability to put photos together in my head. And I guess, you know, as a kid, I was the kid that laid on the floor in the house and imagined what the house would be like walking with it upside down. And I realized that that's not a skill that everybody has. So I had some of these things that, you know, these abilities that not everybody, and I was very organized, and not everybody in construction is very organized. So I had a lot of skills to offer the industry that really made me feel like I was in the right spot.
I love that. And I want to kind of recapture a few things about, you were a nurse that didn't know how to speak roofing as you niched in on figuring this stuff out, right? But if I were to go into the hospital and be your assistant nurse, I would probably struggle to speak nurse just like you struggled to speak roofing, right?
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And I tell you, like, it, that's why I love these conversations, to like point out the obvious that we are not very good at in construction, right? And you don't know, if you don't know roofing, it's not common sense, but we're such a proud industry that we don't want to speak up if we don't know, right? So you brought up reglet, and speaking reglet is spun so many different directions, even in the dialect of speaking roofing, because people will spin it all different ways when you have a tie-in tool of a face reglet or a flashing or a counter flashing and all the different stuff. And if you don't have that piece in the back of your truck and you go into Home Depot, they probably don't have that specialty piece that you actually lost. And then you get stressed, because how do I actually pass the baton and not have a failure or a leak, right? That's what we're talking about here. So we have to point out the obvious that's not obvious of speaking construction in the art of construction. And that's where you talked about how you became a master facilitator when you realize, you start getting recruited by the other people that, hey, Sarah knows how to speak roofing, right?
Yeah.
And so moving on, I'm curious, as now you're kind of getting into evolving this business to where you now are getting going, where things are moving, you've niched in, this type of stuff. I'm curious, how did you set up? Because I'm a big systems and structure guy. Did you go just Google it and go with the tried and true, a traditional, get classes, or, you know, how did you do that? And how did you make it your own? As that's a key thing that whenever I'm coaching, or what we're going to be doing in the AOC Master Facilitators, is you have to have a customer care wheel and processes. But the secret sauce is you have to make it your own, because you're not the only construction company or roofing company in your market, right?
Absolutely. So this is actually one of my passions, and I actually have had a number of people through our company from other businesses just kind of talking about our systems, because I basically came in and I maybe took this too far. I have not really associated with a lot of other business owners asking for their ideas on how things should operate, because I really did not want to copy what someone else was doing. Anytime someone brought me an idea, I would go, okay, does this make sense? Is this the best way to do this? And we started out initially kind of copying some of the format, the way things, other people did things. And then we ran into some problems. And so, you know, we've done things like many people, when they're looking for production managers, will say, okay, I need to hire a production manager that's been in experience and, you know, handled all of this. And we have not done that. We've said we have someone who's started in our production department who is going to be moving into production manager as of next year, who is a teacher, incredibly organized, really good at managing. She was a key teacher, an elementary education teacher. So she knows crews sometimes need someone who's can talk to them like a teacher talks to a kid, like enough structure. Yeah, you're laughing there. Sorry. So, but they do, the kid, it's just like I came from the outside. I have not looked at any person that I've necessarily hired into the company and said, okay, you need to come from construction because you're going to, in fact, I hired people that had come from construction and I was beating my head against the wall because they couldn't operate within the system that I had created because it didn't look like what anybody else has had looked like. And it was, and so they were struggling because they all wanted to do, you know, we're very technology focused in that we don't have paper files for anything. Everything in the company is held in the cloud, which I will tell you was a massive blessing in COVID, because within 24 hours of COVID hitting and everything being shut down, our entire office was remote. Now, I don't think that it works well to run production remote. I will tell you that I learned that.
Well, we all had to figure it out, right?
Yes. But no. So I think I am just now that we've been in business for 5 years and I'm kind of getting to the point where I feel like I know who I am and I know I have the confidence to say, yep, that's something I want to take on, or no, I don't. I really shunned a lot of outside input because I don't want to just like embrace an idea because this is how everybody did it.
I love that. And the statement I always say around this is, in construction, you don't know what you don't know. And boy, you can be jaded by what you think you know, right? And one of our foundational core values is to always do a little T before you GSD. And that's what you talked about of like, you're coming in with fresh perspectives, but also realizing, saying, hey, I got to learn and figure this out, but bring a systems to where you had the opportunity to where you didn't take over a legacy business, right? You got right. to start from a clean slate. So you are like, you're thoughtfully getting shit done and asking everything, does this make sense? But then surrounding yourself around systems and processes to learn from those mistakes, right? And it's a huge dichotomy in this industry of like the tribal knowledge of knowing how to re-roof and tie that chimney and do this addition and do these things to tie it all in is not easy. And you have to have someone that knows how to, I mean, just roof pitches in general is something that is a fascinating thing that you'd think you just put your phone on there and it tells you the pitch, but that's just the technology part. How do you turn that into going and cutting and translating all that stuff? Right. So I'm really curious, as you kind of talked about it, how, and I chuckled when you say a teacher, because sometimes you just need to have a teacher to the students. And mm-hmm. is the teacher really the one who knows the out in the field and connecting the field to the office and vice versa? Or are they just the one that knows how to be the guide to move it along? Right. So as you've been in 5 years in business, how did you hire and how do you hire today? And as you alluded to, most of your employees are coming from places you wouldn't think of, which is kind of the aspiration of this conversation, just like yourself.
Yeah. So I think that there needs to be a mixture of kind of those So a lot our guys on the ground that are actually installing have been in the industry for a very long time. They have the experience. They have the know-how of how you put things together. And frankly, I don't have a lot of that knowledge. That's I hire crews that do that. I have the more of the business side of things where I'm looking at the systems and processes to make sure that we're bridging that gap between the laborer who's doing the product install and the homeowner who doesn't know anything about construction and doesn't, this process is scary and overwhelming. And so, and all of those in betweens there to try and get all of those pieces together. I guess we have hired the vast majority of our office support staff have been from outside the industry. We've got a few people, we've got a production manager in our production. We'll have two production managers within our production department this year, but the one of our production managers came from a, he has a project management degree, and that's helpful for certain things. He understands how things go together. He has a little bit more of an idea of how to structure like the organization of all the components going together, but doesn't necessarily have some of the other aspects of it. Our sales manager came from entirely outside the industry. And I know, I've had several business owners that are like, where did you find your sales manager? And it was a fluke. We hired him for a different position. And I, and this is another thing that I probably done very well at is I, just because I hired someone into one role doesn't mean that I'm not afraid to switch them into a different role if I don't feel like the role that they're in is either their dream job or it's the best fit. So we've worked very hard within our culture to grow different people and kind of find out where they want to go. And then if they're willing to put the effort in to get where they want to go, we try and provide the support and the opportunity if they have the capability to do that, to just allow them to move where they want to be. So we hired this person to do material selections, which was really not his strength, but it was very clear that he was passionate about building and coaching and mentoring salespeople. And he has taken our business from a $3 million a year business last year to we'll probably end the year with nine. So like he's really done a good job, and we would not have, he brings a different perspective just like I do. And he's had to learn the construction side of things, certainly, but he, that outside perspective has been absolutely massive for the company.
All right. So I talked about big systems. And now as we're talking about building a business, you talked about growing 3 to 9 million, the getting the right person in the right seat, which is not always who you think that person is, but to get them to all be rowing in the same direction as you go, we'll put in the show notes when you go to the website and you see the drone fly over and this whole team having as much fun as possible. How did you set up the culture of your company?
So I think it starts with intention. I had a deep desire, and I also, I am business savvy enough to know that culture, and this is something that is actually, so the, backtrack a little bit. I think that there is a stereotype within the construction industry that culture is just something that doesn't, like people should just show up to work and like they should just be happy. And that's just like, it's very fascinating to me as I've talked to other business owners, how they don't even think about culture. So I think the first thing that it starts with is just an awareness that culture is beneficial to your business because happy people do better work. And people who are bought into the culture are just going to be willing to push this dream forward. So I think it starts with an awareness of culture. I think it also, you also have to back up a little bit and be able to, where are you driving this bus? Are you providing stability? Are you providing an opportunity for people to be a part of something bigger? Are you, where is the bus going? And then being able to articulate where you're going to your team. And I had the vision and I could articulate it in a way that a couple people could then take it to our team. And I just had to get those people in place. And then I kind of deputized. So then the other side of that, I think, is you've got to be aware of where your own weaknesses are. And it became obvious to me after about 3 years of trying to do this that I did not possess the ability to take my dream of where I wanted our company culture to go and the value that I knew that that would provide. I was not capable of implementing that in a way that it actually impacted people on the ground. And so then I found people that had that skill set within our company. And I was very honest with them. And I said, I don't have the ability to do this. This is what I want to do. This is why I want to do it. And then they were able to be kind of the megaphone around what it was that I wanted to try and do. And having the humility to be able to say, I am not good at this. I need help with this, which I think sometimes in construction, thought leaders have the ability to say, I'm not good at managing my calendar, but saying, I am not good at articulating my vision and I need help to get people on board with this is much more hard. It's much more difficult for some people to do than like the management of their calendar, which just seems like a given. So that's
great example. Great example that people, we got to find the root of the issue, right? And so this question I'm about to ask is one I'm sure a lot of people are thinking about as we're figuring out, you know, nurse turn, crushing it, doing roofing and having as much fun as possible, but asking for the right help. What's it like being a woman in a male dominated industry? And most importantly, the females we have on our team, I'm just so proud of, and they're just crushing it. How do you think we can get more women into the Art of Construction Master Facilitator tribe?
So I think a few things with that. One, I am absolutely passionate working in the field that I work in. I think if you get back to personality types, and I'm an INTJ, and there are very few women that are INTJ personality types. And so I have always been able to, because the way that I commute, like there's one, it's if depending on where you look, it's like 1.5% of women have that personality type, whereas more men have that personality type. So I have always found it more, I've always found that I have an ability to communicate better with men. And so finding a place that I am able to communicate. And I also was very intentional when I came into this industry to make sure that I was taken seriously. I was very careful about letting my knowledge show up before my, and I have to be, I want to express this carefully. I was very careful how I dressed, frankly, when I started into this industry, and I dressed very carefully because I wanted to be taken seriously. So and I'm not saying that necessarily women need to do that, but my go-to outfit was a polo and jeans across the board. It was, and I, because I watched a lot of women who didn't get taken seriously. And so I put a lot of effort into, I felt like I needed as a woman to learn and know 10 times more than the men in the room. Not necessarily that I did know 10 times more than the men in the room, but I felt like in order, and I'm not sure that this is actually true, but I felt like in order to be taken seriously in this industry, I needed to put in the effort to be able to show up and show that you needed to take me seriously. I don't know if that makes, does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And I really appreciate you. You're really talking about that part of like, how do you break through the ceiling, but most importantly, like adapt and get along. You talked about your personality profile, but saying, okay, how do I look and feel like the rest of the crew? Right.
Right.
And when it's a male dominated thing, I think that's a hard thing to talk about without ruffling feathers, but at the whole thing, we're saying, how do we all get along and work together? Right.
Right.
And it's all these different things of the five love languages and all those other things that have been around forever. It's all the same stuff of how do we communicate, right?
Right. Exactly. And I think I'm going to talk more to the men in the room, not necessarily the women in the room, because I think the women that are in this tribe probably already have a sense of how to get more women in the industry. So I'm assuming that kind of this question of how to get more men in the industry is kind of directed more towards like men who are thought leaders who are like saying, you know what? This would be incredible if we could get more women. First of all, you've got to offer more interviews to women, and don't just discount somebody because they are a woman. You know, just because someone is a secretary doesn't mean that they can't be your president. Just because someone 100%. is,
just because someone, so I think you have to look at people based on their merits and their skill set, not their gender, first of all. Second of all, I think you might be sitting across from the breakfast table next to the person that's the right person to take your company where you need to take it. And to have, I will tell you, my partner is the reason I am able to do what I'm able to do, because he's had the humility to say, I don't need to be the face of this company. I don't need to be the only person making decisions. And he has actually empowered me and never once said, just because I'm a female doesn't mean that I should. So I think it starts with looking at your wives and your daughters and your nieces and your nephews and having and understanding that just because they maybe are not good at driving the little tyke's car, or because they got in a few car accidents, which is me, like I'm talking about myself, just because they did those things doesn't mean that the person that could take you and help you break through all of the issues that you're having might literally be someone that you are interacting with every single day, and you just haven't given them the opportunity and then provided the safe landing when they make those decisions that you look at and are like, well, that's not common sense. Having the grace to say, well, yep, you made this mistake, but how are you going to fix it? And giving them the, and empowering them to fix it, not stepping in and saying, all right, you lost the piece of regolith on the side of the road. I'm going to call this in somewhere and you need to drive it this way and you need to do it this way, saying, okay, there's a Home Depot, go figure it out. And allowing them to see what they do. You know, if they completely screw it up every single time for 15 times, fine. But if they're continually improving, it's likely that the people that you're looking for might be right under your noses. You might have someone on your team who knows someone who'd be a perfect fit for your company, but they've been afraid to say it because the culture around is not doesn't value women and their voices. So I think it comes from you got to be open to it, and then it comes from the humility to say, maybe I need to change my view of what women can provide to this industry. And women are not just there to manage my calendar. So giving them opportunities to build the orders, to talk to the crews, to do some of these things that maybe you've never thought are possible.
Love it. So on the pre-interviews, we were talking about the different, you know, niching in of what products to say, this and that, of how do you run a good business. I'm curious, as we close this thing out and working towards crushing it and growing our business, how do you plan, or do you want to continue scaling your company? I'm curious your perspectives on that.
So I think for me, I want to continue scaling as long as this is something that is not jeopardizing my ability to be present with my family, my physical and my mental health. As long as this is something that's still fun and I'm still passionate about what I'm doing, I think that I want to continue to plan to scale. I do think that I plan to slow the growth down a little bit after next year. I don't think tripling the size of the company every year is sustainable or wise, but I don't think I necessarily have a plan to slow it down, but I could be paralyzed tomorrow and you don't have any control over that. So,
well, that's the honest answer, right? But I do appreciate where you're kind of saying, I got to make sure I'm paused, because you can only break through the ceiling so fast until you could have the whole thing crumble. So I really appreciate that perspective. As we work towards the end of this thing, the last question before we do our closeout questions is one last time, coming from a different field to a business owner in construction, I'd be curious, what do you think are some of the common misconceptions about the industry, the construction silos that we break down here that we call the art of construction?
So I think I touched on this briefly earlier. I think one of the biggest misconceptions is this is easy. and that this is just, there's just not a lot of complexity to the issues within the construction industry. And I think that there is, there are layers upon layers upon layers of issues within the construction industry.
Walk you can't in say and, that enough. It's then, and I think it's so inspirational for me to hear, and hopefully for the tribe to some days are really hard, right? To say it's okay. It's not easy. Right. So the last couple questions here that we always ask, and, you know, Sarah, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story and really opening up about, you know, where you come from, where you are and where you want to go, and just being really authentic with us. What is your take as someone coming into the industry? I'm really curious of now niching in and roofing. What is your crystal ball for the future when we talk about technology and construction?
So when I think of this question, I think of like, what do I want for my business? And like, what would be things, just where are some of my pain points that I think technology might be able to break through that? And I would love, so one of the struggles that, you know, I work in the roofing exterior trades, and one of our biggest struggles and one of the most dangerous parts of what we do is roofing. I would love to see a product and a technology where with two guys and some skill in flashing, you could put a product down on a roof that could lay shingles, you know, take the shingles from a bundle and lay the shingles for you so that you're not getting overdriven nails. You're not getting underdriven nails there. You know, your lines always run straight. And you also have, you take out the massive need for 16 man crews and, you know, all the complexities of trying to find that much labor in this current environment. And then I think about the inside side of that and how we might be able to use AI to refine the scheduling process and refine the order process so that this is less of an, some of these areas of construction are less of an art and more of a science, kind of marrying the art and science of construction, where you still keep some of the skills, but you're also having artificial intelligence helping with some of these things that seem like they should be scientific to me.
I love that. It makes me think of our recent show 278 titled The Drywall Finishing Robot, where Kevin Albert, who came from working on, you know, the, go listen to the podcast about where his background of putting stuff on the moon and moving around to then going to canvas, and a lot of similar things that you're talking about on the roof is, you know, drywall of the, all the stages and the craftsmen, the people that we just put a new roof on our house, and those 16 people like watching, like, holy smokes, but they get tired, right? And these machines are the same and repetitive. But it's, you know, you see a lot of that where we have a lot of conversation about blending on-site and off-site construction. But the roof is one of those things that the factory can do a part of it, but then there's that set and stitch, right? And going back to that riglet conversation of what is done, and there's still a lot of that stuff. So I think you're it's a cool perspective that you bring to the table. The last question we always ask, you know, Sarah, as business owner, putting it out there, what is that one thing you want to leave our contractors and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
I think if we could just have people thinking through how they can bring people from other industries into this industry, and then also looking at whatever processes they're looking at in those systems, that's a big thing for your tribe, is the systems, and how can we take an outside perspective on those systems and how we hire people? How can we look at the talents that people bring and not necessarily the gender that they are or the background that they will fit into.
Awesome stuff. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your story, Sarah. All right, tribe, so much gold there that ties into what we're doing with the AOC Master Facilitators Tenfold. And so many things that are just make you think about how to move the business forward in common practice that may not be common, right? And going back to that 80-20 rule and thinking about that, because the saying I always say, and Sarah talked a lot about that, is just because you can do everything in restoration doesn't mean you should, right? And it's a hard part of that evolution of the entrepreneurial journey. And we did a whole series of the five stages of the entrepreneurial journey of you have to go out there and you have to try a bunch of stuff, which is kind of what I heard from her. But then once you figure out to say, well, this is, we're losing our shorts over here, but over here we're doing very well. And that's where you start niching in as a company. And, you know, I just want to hit it one more time. If she learned how to speak nurse and burnt her out, but then she learned how to speak roofing and siding, and she's passionate about that, right? So find your passion and then thoughtfully get shit done. And so the part I leave you with this is that we've been talking a lot about one foot in the digital space and one foot in the physical space. And one of my coaches and mentors, Greg Hernandez, who we have him coming in next week to do another session with our internal team, is he talks about 1 + 1 = 3. And in a lot of different areas, right? So one foot in practice and one foot in new tech and systems is what we talk about equaling 3 here on the Art of Construction Master Facilitators. And so she talked a lot about the practice, her partner who does not want to be the one out there on the podcast talking about, he's the one out there mastering the kit of parts or their components, that in the AOC Master Facilitators, we call that bracket the job site, where we're going to be talking about product reviews, sharing our wins, and learning about that kit of parts, right? So that's the one foot in the practice. The one foot in the technology systems is all about the right person in the right seat. And so she talked about how I loved the teacher story about the teacher was a really good leader, but not someone that came from elementary school, I think she said, but figuring out those best practices, that we call that the member hub. And the member hub is where you come in and guide that journey. And that's what it's all about, is being a guide on that evolution, that then we can connect the technologies to the handshakes that we always talk about. And that handshake is that job board, for whatever reasons, all working together. And that equals that system. You know, Sarah and I talked a lot about the systems and then figuring out how you can break through those systems. And that's where we're going to have the information center, where you have the classes and, most importantly, those in-person retreats. And so we're doing that, the first class. If you want to get on the wait list, there's all the information in the show notes to when we join this thing of 1, 2, 23, here it all comes, right? When we launch this thing. And the first in January, we get to have Jason Blanker, who's going to be talking about who you are. And that's the part that I think Sarah just hit home so well. Like, we all get lost on our journey, but then she talked about her profile and who she is and her business partner and who he is, of figuring out you got to know who you are to help others. And that's where we're really going to start in January with in the information center. So get on the wait list for that. And so a story, I want to tell a story of raise my hand of Sarah did it, so I'm going to do the same. So she talked about how she dropped a mower in a canal or over had an issue with the lawnmower. I think about, I was a freshman in college, and for some, make a few extra, I was just moved to Colorado, and there was a Pizza Hut right next door. So I went in, got a job at the Pizza Hut Domino's, I'm plugging them all. This was Domino's Pizza. And I got the job, and my second night on the deliveries, it was Super Bowl Sunday, and it's like the busiest day of the year, right? And so they send me out with the back full of all these pizzas, and I had no clue where it was. I pulled over to the side of the road, and I was looking at the map. This was back before Google Maps just tell you where you go. And I had this big map over the windshield, and I'm sitting there, and next thing you know, I'm sitting up and down in the air. And I thought I didn't put the car in park because I was flustered. I had all these hot pizzas and I was still moving when I was on the side of the road, and the car went and it drove into a canal. And I'm laying there with all the pizzas all over me in this canal. And luckily it was like this marshy canal, so it just like fell in. And I called my boss and I said, well, I put my car in the canal. I need someone to come. And the manager left, came and got the pizzas. We still did it all on time. And my mom helped me call a tow truck. We towed it out. And the next day I was delivering pizzas again. But I can tell you, if that mentor of that time, and if he would have screamed and yelled, everything would have went haywire, right? But he just said, where are you at? I'll be right there. Deliver the pizzas. And we'll make it happen. And so I was not happy about that. Just like Sarah was probably not happy, right? But we learned. And from crashing the bus that Sarah and I talked about, we're always crashing the bus. Then we're sharing those stories. And what Sarah and I are out here trying to do as leaders is we're all trying to be mentors for the next drivers of the bus. So Tribe, it's okay to ask for help. It's hard to ask for help, and it's not easy. So go out there, find your mushrooms, put them in your coffee, whatever you got to do to go get it to have as much fun as possible. Crush it out there, Tribe. And Sarah, thank you so much for being a leader of the art of construction. Cheers.